To see you is the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen. Amen. Today we hear the incarnation of the Holy Spirit by Jesus to the disciples, locked in a room for fear of revilement, for fear of persecution, for fear, period. They are huddled in their fear. And Jesus comes among them and says, "Peace be with you." I think that is a good lesson for us to hear this day. Those who are huddled in fear need to hear, "Peace be with you." Those who are fearing for their life, rightly so, should hear, "Peace be with you." Those who are locked in their own hearts with fear and with trepidation and even fearing to go out of their homes need to hear, "Peace be with you." This is not an idle story from John. This is a real-life account of what it meant to be a Christian in the first century. To be a Christian in the first century meant that you were an outlaw, that you would be hauled off in the middle of the night, and not just you, but your wife and your children and your grandchildren. Every member of your household would be hauled off in the middle of the night because you have professed the faith in Christ Jesus. Saying this made you an enemy of the state. Saying this made you someone who is outside the law. And yet, they persisted. And yet, they held fast to the firm faith that was given to them by their Savior. Today is also, the Feast of Pentecost is also said to be the birth of the church. This is the day on which the church was born. Okay, all of you good Episcopalians, reach back into your mind, into your confirmation class, and you hear the bishop say, "What is the mission of the church?" What is the mission of the church? Oh, good Lord above. It is not rhetorical. It is definitely not rhetorical. The mission of the church is to reconcile everyone into the body of Christ, into the image of Christ, and through faith in God. So it says in our catechism. So it says when the bishop laid his hands on your head. The mission of the church is reconciliation. The mission of the church is to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. Now, we're in a tough spot because most of that has been kind of co-opted by others of a different strain of Christianity that we profess. For some, it means getting on a plastic milk box in the corner of Vernier and Mac with a microphone in your hand and to proclaim the good news, to, you know, do it with a big old bass. And that's not what Jesus intended. That's not what "peace be with you" means. We are asked to be faithful witnesses of God in Christ. And what are our, what are our marching orders? What do we do? Love your neighbor as yourself. Bless those who curse you. Love those who hate you. Be the witness that Jesus was on Calvary Hill. Do not repay evil for evil. Repay evil with good. That is our commission. That is the birthplace of the church. That is our foundational marching order. This is where we start. When I was doing interim ministry training, we went through this very quick history of the Christian church. And in the beginning, because Christianity was the outlaw church, because it was illegal to be a Christian, that it was illegal to have no one but the emperor as your God, you had to be really careful who you let in to your worship service. You had to be really careful about who you talked to and how you talked to them. You had to be really careful that you didn't let someone in there who was going to be a mole to expose you, your family, and all of the rest of your community to persecution and death. It was a time of fear. So, when you were sitting in the marketplace and you were kind of talking with each other, people usually had a stick in their hand and they would trace in the dust. They would just kind of, you know, talk. And Christians had this secret code. And they would make something that looked like an alpha in Greek, but it looked like a fish. Looked like a little, looked like goldfish, actually. It's one of those cheddar cheese goldfish type things. That cheddar cheese goldfish proclaimed who they were. And if people started to get nervous, all you did was take the stick and wash it away. Didn't happen. Not there. So you had to be really careful about who you let in. So the mission work was more internal. When, in the 4th century, Emperor Constantine ruined the made Christianity the... Sorry. Yes, Constantine ruined the church. When Constantine made Christianity the church of the Roman Empire, it destroyed most of the faith that was inherent in them. There was no need to hide. And in fact, you had to proclaim yourself as a Christian whether you were or not. So much for mission. So, at the end of the lecture, our presenter said, and from the 17th to the 20th century, we practiced what was called hydrological mission work. Hydrological. Mission can only be accomplished if you cover water, if you sail to Africa, if you sail to South America, if you sail to Australia or China or to Indochina or to the Indian subcontinent. It only counts if you cross water. Today, it's much, much different. In fact, it's a combination of the 1st century and the 19th century. Matthew says, I will send you out making disciples, and I will baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you will create for us a church, a heavenly kingdom prepared by God for his glory. The mission field? How many of you know that term, mission field? The mission field? Mission field was, you know, we go to Guatemala, we go to Australia, we go to Uganda, we go to some place that, you know, it looks good on our resume to say, yeah, I've been to Uganda. I'm tough. But if Kroger doesn't have the donuts I want, you know, I'd cry in a puddle. We are deceived by that kind of mission. Because the mission field is right outside our door. The mission field is not hydrological. The mission field is those people who are always out there. The mission field is the people that you encounter every day. The mission field is the place ripe for us to proclaim the good news of God in Christ. And it's not to win souls for Jesus. I've been there, done that. It's not to, you know, say, unless you believe in this, you're going to die. It's just proclaiming the good news, and that's it. And to say with confidence, this is what I know to be true. I am a member of St. Michael's, and it is the best church in the world. And let me tell you why. That's your mission identity. That's who you are. Because we are all members of that community. And it is up to us to bring forth the good news of that community. And I would say, those languages that were read in the first lesson, those arcane languages, some of which do not even exist anymore. What if a language spoken here that no one can hear? What if a language with a syntax and a vocabulary that is foreign to most people, even though we speak English? What if it's a language that can get people inflamed by the power of the Spirit so that they can find solace and grace and comfort in a community? I'm not saying that you should drink wine at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm not doing that. But it will sound that way. It will sound like you're off your rocker. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what's real. But the thing is, if we proclaim the good news of God in Christ, if we do what the Holy Spirit has compelled us to do, we will grow the kingdom of God, which is not, however, the purpose of the church. Notice that the catechism does not say, make more people to sit in the pews so that we can balance the budget. It means bring people closer to the good news so that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. That is our mission. That is what we celebrate today. May the heavenly fire of Pentecost inflame our souls and be out there amongst the people proclaiming the good news in whatever language we find ourselves in, so that we may be the daughters and sons of Christ that He has created us to be. Amen.